Verse 19, please. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. I'm going to attempt to do something that's hard to pull off. I'm going to preach on the same subject tonight as I'm preaching on this morning. These messages will have nothing to do with it directly, and I wish if I had my druthers, I would preach tonight's message right now, and then we would go to the bathroom, and then we would come back, and I would preach this message right afterwards. Because I already realize if Jesus was preaching, some folks won't be back tonight. But I'm going to preach two very important messages on the subject of worship. And they're very different because they're geared in different directions. If you were to ask me, what have you read the most in the last 10 years, I would say one of the most noted subjects I have studied is the subject of worship. For you, most of you come to church and you either enjoy it or don't. I, as a pastor, because of the contemporary church, have to have answers biblically for what we do. You could have gone along in the fundamental churches from the 1800s through the 1970s and not had a single biblical answer about anything. Today, you have to have biblical answers. And by the way, everybody look at me. You are going to get a biblical answer that is so simple. When you walk out here today, every person in this room will know what the Scripture teaches. It'll be that simple. Let's stand and we'll read the passage together. It, of course, flows out of the passage of being filled with the Holy Spirit. In verse 18, Paul says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess or debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." In verse 19, one of the two passages in the Bible that deal directly with this, he says, "Speaking to yourselves," or another way of stating the same thing is speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then again, plurals, singing, you, church at Ephesus, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, if you'll open your turn also to Colossians 3:16. Paul says nearly identical words in Colossians 3:16. I'm going to focus on Ephesians 5. We will turn to Colossians one time, I think. Colossians 3:16, and this is so profound. Everybody find it? 3:16 is two books over, folks. It's not in the Minor Prophets. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom." In all wisdom, I like that. "In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." This morning, I'm going to speak on worship, and boy, I again say, you got to be here tonight, because you're not going to understand anything about worship just from one sermon, because you're going to think worship only happens here. And tonight, we're going to see that is a fundamental fallacy. But we're going to speak about one slice of worship called corporate gathered worship. We come together as the church that worship. And we're just going to deal with one verse. By the way, this is not a suggestion, Ephesians 5:19. It is a command. Let's pray and we'll get started. Our Father, I thank you for your word. What a moving passage, and what a passage that has captivated me these quite a few years now. I can think of no other two verses that have captivated my mind and my attention like these two verses have. Because it seems like it's central to the Christian life, and yet we are so easily distracted from doing what we're called to do. Speak, Father. I prepared this most assuredly, Lord, you know, and I prayed about this and meditated on it, and I'm ready. But I can't keep people awake. I can't even get people's interest. Lord, you must do that. You must open hearts this morning of even believers so they hear what it is when we come together in corporate gathered worship. May we hear and may our hearts be attentive to your word, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. It was beyond question one of the greatest services I've ever been in. It was an electric service for me personally. I did not know this verse in 1976, but I learned this concept without knowing the verse in a church service. The service itself was nothing special. We were meeting in a grade school cafeteria, and we were seated on hard folding chairs. I can still remember as a young man how much those hurt my back. We would actually get there early and set the chairs up. The church was a startup church, Victory Baptist Church. It was made up mainly of Marines, some Navy, and some civilians. The song leader, and you'd have to understand, we got a couple guys here who will get this, was an old, rough, hard-nosed gunny sergeant. I guess you could call him the song leader. He really couldn't sing, and I'm not sure he could lead. But he got up there, and you feared he might come down and grab you, so you would just go ahead and sing anyhow. And when he would lead with his hand out and one finger sticking out. You say, did he beat on time? I'm not exaggerating. He just waved his arms. And he would just wave his finger around, and if you were following that finger, you were confused. The singing wasn't much, and that old gunny sergeant, boy, I liked him, but he was a rough old buzzard. Man. We had a choir, I guess. You probably shouldn't call it a choir. You really should call it people in the choir space. They could not sing parts. Oh, they couldn't. And they asked me to join. You know how bad they were when they asked me to join the choir. And went up there, and they were trying to teach parts, the person in charge, and it was impossible. We couldn't even sing the melody. We were singing parts. We weren't supposed to. We would sing several parts in the melody. But it happened about my second or third week there. Somebody had chosen a song, and I heard this song. I heard an old, old story. How a Savior came from glory. How He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. O victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming love. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I remember hearing that song. And folks, I had grown up in church and we didn't have that song in our hymn book. And that day, it was like the hair on the... Well, I had hair in those days. It stood up. And I was grabbed. I heard that music and I saw... And I'll tell you what hit me more. It wasn't the guy up here leading with one finger like this that couldn't sing. I looked around that room. You hear me? I looked around that room, and I saw those hard-nosed jarheads that had just come back from Vietnam. I saw guys that had been over killing guys. And I saw those men singing about victory in Christ and the corporate singing of a church. And they were singing about what God had done for them and what Christ meant to them. And it was a life changing experience to hear God's people sing. And by the way, when I talk about corporate gathered worship, you need to look back at Ephesians 5. Would you please? In verse 19. By the way, you don't have to go far today. What is it? I discovered the power of what a congregation can do in its singing. What is corporate gathered worship? What do we call it? Paul says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, you singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. This sermon is so simple this morning, but you'll never forget it if you listen. Corporate gathered worship is number one, from the people. From the people. Is that hard to figure out? He doesn't say, pastors, get up there and sing solos. He doesn't say, have wonderful choirs. He doesn't say, have great solos and duets. He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, you singing, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Corporate gathered worship is from the people. I was talking to a good friend of mine several months back, 6 or 8 months ago. Good friend, somebody I love. He's a song director in a church. Good song director. We were talking about music and what kind of music we did and all that kind of stuff. And it came up in the service. I mean, about his service. He just said this thing. He wasn't trying to fight. We weren't fighting. He said to me, he said, "Ralph, I got a lot of work to do. We have 3 specials on Sunday morning and a choir special." And honestly, immediately, it just blurted out. He's my friend, too. I said, "When does the congregation sing?" Do you realize 3 songs in a choir song, a song takes 3 to 4 minutes. That means out of the 30 minutes before preaching, 16 minutes are taken up minimally with people, you look at me in the eyes, singing for you. And I told my friend, "Brother, you don't have worship. You have Christian entertainment." And I said, "I know people like Christian entertainment, but that's contrary to the Bible. The Bible tells us speaking to yourselves, to one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody, you, in your heart to the Lord." Biblical, gathered, corporate worship is from the people. Always. Gathered worship, hear me, cannot be done for us. You can't say, "Well, I don't want to do it. I want to be entertained." That's not Christian. You must sing yourself as a church. It's what we do. By the way, this is taught in the Scripture. Colossians says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord." In Acts 16, Paul's in prison with Silas. And it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. They were just 2. And sang praises unto God. It's what we do. It's from the people. In Matthew 26, verse 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out. I mean, they sang. Jesus and his disciples sang together. It was from the people. I must read verses. I hope this helps you as much as it helps me. But I will never pastor a church where the people don't sing. And if you don't sing, I'm leaving, and I'll leave tomorrow. I'm never going to a church where we have an entertainment center. You look at me. I'll never be part of a church where somebody does what God has allowed me to do when He put a new song in my heart, and I hope your heart. By the way, there's a song we sing, "Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God." There's a reason why churches entertain people, because you got a group of people that don't know God. But when you know Christ and you know God through the cross, there's a song in your heart and you must sing. And by the way, that's what's commanded from beginning to end. This is taught in the Scripture. It's not only that, it is an expression of the priesthood of all believers. 1 Peter 2 says, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house as a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." A little later, he says in verse 9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." Do you not understand the moment you get saved, you can now come to God and pray to God and sing to God? It's from the people. It expresses the priesthood of the believer. This is found many places, but I won't read them all. This is also simply one of our one another duties. There are many one another duties. Do you still have in your Bible, I've given this out twice, the one another commands in the Bible? "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love." No, not love. Love one to another. You all with me? There's probably 50 to 60 one another commands in the Bible. I'll read you another one. "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." Romans 14:13 says, "Let us not therefore judge one another." 14:19 says, "That we may edify one another." Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear you one another's burdens." Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another." Colossians 3:12 says, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another."
1 Thessalonians 4:18 talks about wherefore comfort one another with these words. Hebrews talks about, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sins. Look at me, folks. Corporate gathered worship, when we come here, is from you. It is never about what happens here. It's from you. It's from the people. It's speaking to yourselves or one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. It's from the people. My goodness. It's part of that one another duty. It's part of the priesthood of the believer. It's what the Scripture teaches. The tragedy is this was rediscovered in the Reformation and given back to the people. You know, in the Reformation, people didn't have a Bible in their language. And all of a sudden, the Christians wanted to get the Bible into the different languages. By the way, before the Reformation, people didn't sing. People didn't understand the priesthood of the believer. They didn't know they could go to God. The Reformation gave back to us the Word of God. It gave back to us the opportunity to sing when we come together to God. And I'm going to say this and be done mostly with this point. This must not be given up or given back for any reason. Worship bands and worship teams and worship pastors and praise teams and worship leaders all sound real cute, have nothing to do with Christianity. Christianity, look at me, is about you, not about me, not what's done here. It's about you. Speaking to yourselves or one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's from the people. I was in a church service one time and I blurted something out and I about had a lady lose her teeth. If they would have been false teeth, they'd have been on the floor. She was talking about Christian music and I just blurted out. I don't know why I said it. I shouldn't have said it. It got me in trouble. It'll get me in trouble this morning. There'll be people in this room angry at me because I say this. We were talking about Christian music and I just said, and I don't know how that came out. I said, I really don't listen to Christian music. I mean, this lady's teeth chattered, fell. They'd have been on the floor. And she immediately... And I said, I can't just listen to Christian music. If I listen to Christian music, I have to stop everything I'm doing. I kind of asked you something. Are you a Christian? How do you just have this background music back here talking about the love of God and the grace of God and the cross and all that and just kind of filling in space? If I'm listening to Christian music, I have to sing. You say, why? That's just what Christianity is about. You don't transfer. You don't hand. You're, you know, here, you do it for me. You kidding me? You can't give it up. You can't give it back. It must not be given up. It must not be given it back. Maybe the worst thing about American culture is we are a culture of entertainment. We have Christian radio. We have Christian music. We even say we have Christian TV. I would debate that. We have become a group of passive spectators. We have become a group of passive spectators. We sit in a chair and sleep because we don't have a clue what it means to worship God. Therefore, the church, I already know this, you don't get it. We have enough good singers in this church. I could entertain you every week and you would just love it. And if I did a little country stuff, a little southern gospel, I'd have people crying. The problem is you aren't obeying God and we are not worshiping God. We are being entertained. Why do you think most churches have gone totally to entertainment? And you, by the way, they turn the lights out in the auditorium. You don't bring a Bible. You don't have a hymn book. You just come here and just have some entertainment. Christian worship is from the people. Always. Always. Look back at the verse. By the way, and I know why it's not from people that come to this church, because they ain't doing it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. You're worshiping the living God every day of your life with songs. John Wesley, 300 years ago, said there's only three books in your life you need to know. God's book, your hymn book, and your pocketbook. And this hymn book ought to be something that you don't just bring here because singing is what you do when you're by yourself too. I refuse to let other people sing to God for me. You've got to be kidding me. Look at what it says. The second point is very obvious. I think.
Ephesians 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. What's the last line? You say, what is gathered corporate worship? Look at me, folks. This is really complex. It's from the people to the Lord. And when I wrote this point down, my first thought in my mind is, and I know this is bad English, duh. Doesn't everybody understand that?
It's from the people to the Lord. I mean, I can just hear somebody saying, well, Pastor, isn't everything supposed to be done to the Lord? Doesn't the Bible say, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God? Doesn't it say, for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever, amen? Doesn't the Bible say, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, or do all in the name of the Lord Jesus? Doesn't the Bible say, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men? Yes, that's very obvious, but we have, hear me, we have two tremendous barriers, and you have to hear me carefully. There are two things that stop public worship, gathered worship today. Look at me, everybody, from the people to the Lord. Number one is we don't have the first point right. If you understand that what we do here on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and every time we're together is you, not me, you worshiping God in all forms, whether that's giving, whether that's singing, whether that's praying, whether that's hearing the word, whether that's obeying, if you understand that, this is what you have. Worship from the people to the Lord. And in the process of that, hear me, there's what I call spillover. When Paul and Silas were in prison, they were singing to God, but guess what? Other folks heard them. And that's the point in Ephesians 5:19. You got to stick with me, by the way. They were singing to the Lord, but it helps other people. You get blessed in the process. Oh, wait a minute. But if you go to a church expecting entertainment, you have to hear me. It isn't that way. This is what you have. Normally, you have pretty women on stage
from this group to that group. Hello? You got to understand, if you don't get the first concept right, you get everything wrong. That's the reason
we're out here and people are like, what are they going to do next? And you're like, clapping for people? What exactly is going on here? Oh, by the way, you just go back to a simple passage. Speaking to yourselves, look at me, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, you singing, and making melody, you, in your hearts to the Lord. If you understand it's from the people to the Lord, and there's this beautiful thing called spillover. Oh, when I'm sitting by people, and I know God's done something good in their life. The song you sang this morning, Jennifer, I love the way you sing it, but I hate to tell you, there's a person that used to be in this church who did a better job. Do you know who she is? Mrs. Lichtenbarger. When she was going through cancer and she sang that song, this whole church was grabbed. And they weren't grabbed because she was the best singer we've ever had, because she wasn't. But you experienced God. So I'm going to ask you a question. Do you understand corporate worship is from the people to the Lord, and you glean some benefits? But if we come to church, deadhead, half asleep, by the way, unsaved people notice your deadheadedness too. Kathy Milburn noticed somebody in this service yesterday in the funeral service snoring. Oh, we're coming here for what? We hope somebody up here entertains us so we can... By the way, the people clap for a nice performance. That's Christian entertainment. It may be even good Christian entertainment, but it's not worship because it's not what you do and it's not done to the Lord. But there's a second barrier, and I call it the common complaint. First time this ever happened to me, it happened to me about over where Charles was sitting. I was here on a Sunday morning or Sunday night service, and there was a guy, I'll call his name Bob, that's not his name. There was a guy over there named Bob. I'd been coming here a couple years, and I love this church. And old Bob came up to me after the service, and he said something to me that I was just like, I didn't know what to say. He said something, it was this simple. He said, Ralph, we're leaving the church.
And my next thing, why? He says, we don't get anything out of the service. I honestly say I didn't know what to say. I was dumbfounded. I didn't understand what he meant. I didn't get it. I love this church. I love to come here and fellowship with Christians. I love to come here and sing. I love to come here and watch Don Askew. Now, you know, Don wasn't the best song leader this church has ever had, but Don Askew made great faces, and I just love to watch him lead the singing. He got excited. He wasn't. Tim over here is cool, calm, and collected. Don was the opposite temperament. When he just get into things, and I love to be part of that. I loved coming to church and giving to missions and giving to the church. This isn't brag. I'm one of many. I mean, I worked one whole summer at Lake Forest Peach Clinic. In the entire summer, every check, I just signed my name and put it in the plate because I like to give to the church. And I can afford it. I thought that's what you did. I love coming and hearing preaching and hearing teaching and joining in. I wasn't able to answer this guy. I didn't know what to say to him. I didn't get it. But hear me, everybody look at me. I've heard that many times since then. Well, somebody will come up to you and say, I didn't get anything out of the service. And I finally got it. They came to church to get something. If you're a worshiper of God, you come to church to give something. Excuse me, that's not true. To give everything. So when somebody says, I didn't get anything, I'm like, what? Folks, you come to a church like this and you're giving. By the way, what are you supposed to? You're supposed to give everything you are. You're supposed to love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. You're to bring that to church. You're to give God of your tithes and offerings. You're to give God of your praise. You're to give God of all that you are. Oh, by the way, when you give God everything, you get everything in return. You come to church trying to get something. You're going to walk away saying those stupid statements. I didn't get anything out of the service, which from now on, everybody here knows, you're just speaking about yourself. You're telling me you've probably grown up in a Baptist church circles that's entertained, and you probably watch too much TV, and you think church is TV and entertainment. By the way, folks, church has nothing to do with entertainment. There is no clapping. Church is about God. You say, what is corporate public worship? From the people to the Lord, and there's that natural spillover where we encourage one another with our singing, with our fellowship, with our I love you, praying for you. Of course you get something. When you give God everything, you get everything. I think that's called worship, folks. I have to say one more thing, and we got to go on to the third point. Please don't get offended. When somebody says this great statement, I didn't get anything, do you realize how unchristian that is? Hear me. Everybody look at me. I have said two things. Worship is from, I can't hear you, from to. So the only question at the end of this service is, what did God get out of the service? Now, what I would be worried about is when you walk out this morning, God would say, I didn't get anything out of this service from them. I didn't get anything out of the service because they were sleeping, nodding off, not coming here, not engaged. Then I would be worried. But saying, you, by the way, when somebody says to me, I didn't get anything out of the service, that bothers me this much. Because let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. But God's people, they know what worship's about. This is simple, isn't it? Well, we go on. Look back at Ephesians 5:19. Paul has said two things I have focused on. Speaking to yourselves from the people in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody. That's you. You singing, you making melody in your hearts to the Lord. It's from the people to the Lord. And number three, he gives three requirements there about the kind of music we sing. And I call this simply, corporate worship is not only from the people to the Lord, but number three, it's by the book. I'm sorry to tell you, we cannot sing certain songs in this church. And as long as I'm pastor here, we will never sing certain songs in this church. You say, why? I think the Bible tells us the kind of music we can sing.
I think he says pretty clearly here and in Colossians, he says hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs. Now, I must confess that I do not have time to talk about this in depth this morning other than to say this. All three of those words are used in the Greek Old Testament of the book of Psalms. You will find the Psalms called psalms, you will find the Psalms called hymns, and you will find the Psalms called songs, or psalmos, hymnos, and hode, if you want to know the Greek words. You say, what does this mean, Pastor Warren? Minimally, it means this, that we as a church are required to sing biblical psalms and songs and hymns, or psalms, songs, and hymns that are based on the Scripture, and hear me, and that sound like the Scripture. This is what you should see. When you come to church and you hear a song and you're reading the book of Romans, you should say, that sounds like what I've been reading. I don't know when this foolishness started. And it's foolishness. It's not foolishness. It's pagan. I know the first two ones that I remember. Back in the 70s, I think, it might have been early 80s, there was a song that came out on the pop radio called You Light Up My Life. Debbie Boone sang it. And then after this song, you know, by the way, it was a boyfriend song. You know, you light up. After like a year of this thing being a big pop record, she says, well, I wrote that to Jesus. Never said anything about Jesus. Never saying about the cross. Never saying about Christianity. Never saying about salvation. Nothing about justification. Nothing about glorification. Nothing about adoption. Nothing about Christianity. She said this song was about Jesus, and I call that Jesus My Boyfriend music. That will never happen in this church because Jesus is not my boyfriend. He is Lord of everything. But we must also say something else just to make everybody equally angry. You see, corporate worship has to be by the book. Another song that some Christians picked up on for a while. This is my favorite. It shows you how foolish people are. I grew up a rocker. Most of you know this. There was a period of time Christians were singing in some churches, My Sweet Lord. My Sweet Lord was about Krishna. But because it mentioned that word Lord, it's a Christian song. No, it's not. Do me a favor. Turn your hymn books. You have a hymn book? Turn it to page 442, would you? Let me see if this sounds like the Bible to you. We could do this many places. These are just two hymns that I like. I like a lot of hymns, but I just really like these two. I would ask you what scripture passage it comes from, but you could probably read it on the page, so I won't do any good. Let me ask you, does this sound a lot like the Bible? I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known. Well, the songs I hear today, everybody understands that perfectly clear. Well, the Bible doesn't seem to be as clear. Nor why unworthy Christ in love redeem me for his own. I think I've heard that word redemption. I think I've understood that concept of being unworthy. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I think I've heard that someplace in the Bible. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word wrought peace within my heart. You know, in Romans 5:1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, sounds like the Bible. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the word, creating faith within. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. How about this song? How about 4:11? Just a few other pages to the left. These songs sound like what I read in the Bible. My hope is built on nothing less than that Jesus is my boyfriend. No, than Jesus' blood and, look at me, righteousness. Oh, by the way, we got people. Pastor Malone went to the largest church in the Chicagoland area. After the rock and roll service, went up and talked to the band and asked them specific questions about how, if they knew they were saved and how they knew, he could not get a straight Christian answer out of any of them. Do you know how you're saved? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood. Hear me. Not my righteousness. My righteousness is as filthy rags. But when I get saved, you look at me. When I come to Christ, the righteousness of Christ is put on my account. I stand before God, not in mine own righteousness, but His. Does this sound like the Bible? Yes or no? Worship must be by the book. Songs that are either rooted in the Bible, meaning they're from it, or sounding like the Bible. None of the Hare Krishna, my sweet Lord. None of this Amy Grant foolishness. Well, that might have something to do with her life, too. You say, well, I like Amy Grant. Well, God bless you. God's not as impressed with her life. How about you? And Patty, whatever her name is. And this goes on and on. By the way, do you notice they never quit singing? They get divorced, and they get divorced again, they get divorced again, but they never quit singing in churches? Because we have people that would rather be entertained than ever do anything about worshiping the living God. I go back to a song, "Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God." I think there's a reason why we have the lights down and the rock music, because we got a crowd full of pagans. Well, let's continue. How about the second stanza? "When darkness veils his lovely face." Does that ever, you ever experience dark times in your life? Sounds a lot like Isaiah 50, verse 10. "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of the servant, who walketh in darkness and hath no light?" I think I've read that someplace. "I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil." Drawing from the gospel stories of being in a boat with Christ, and Hebrews about the anchor going inside the veil. How about the third one? "His oath, his covenant." His oath, his covenant, his blood. "Support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne." We must turn to Colossians chapter 3, if you would, please. My message this morning is so simple that I'm afraid to preach it. But I think I need to. We're actually going to turn to two verses and we will be done this morning. Notice what Paul says in Colossians 3:16. "Let the" what? "The word of Christ dwell in you." In what sense? "Richly, fully, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." You see the same concepts. You say, everyone look at me, this stuff is simple. What is gathered corporate worship? It's from the people. It's what we do. It's to the Lord. It's by the book. It's what this Bible prescribes. And fourthly, it's about the Lord and His finished work. He said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." We're going to turn to one passage, 1 Timothy 3:16. I will not expound on this. I just want to touch on it. Would you look there with me? Most scholars that I have ever read, and it sounds reasonable to me, they believe Paul is quoting an early Christian hymn because of the rhyme, how it's set up, and the format. 1 Timothy 3:16, Paul says this. And by the way, if this is a hymn, this tells you what hymns are supposed to be like. And without controversy, beyond any doubt, "Great is the mystery of godliness." God, this is the first line. "God was manifest in the flesh." You mean we sing songs not about, "We will worship you, we will praise you." No, we sing songs, hear me, about Christ and what He's done on the cross, because the early Christian hymns were about the incarnation. God becoming flesh. By the way, look at the second line. A little more difficult. "Justified in the Spirit." On the cross, Christ was vindicated by the power of the Spirit of God. Look at the next line. He goes on. "Seen of angels." That's talking about His resurrection. And it either is "seen of angels," meaning angelic beings, or the Greek word angelos also means messengers. I tend to think it's just talking about, look at me, I think it's talking about something very simple. Angelos means either, it means a messenger, whether it's angelic or human. I think he's talking about something very simple. I think he's simply saying, at the resurrection, guess what? People saw the resurrected Christ. Oh, it goes on. This is a song, folks. "Seen of angels."
preached unto the Gentiles. Missions, evangelism, believed on in the world. Received up into glory, the ascension. Do you know, in this one little six stanzas, we have the incarnation, we have the cross and how Christ was vindicated of who he was and what he was doing on the cross. We see the concept of the resurrection and being seen or witnessed the resurrection. We hear about evangelism and missions. We hear about faith in Christ. We hear about the ascension. I'm sorry. We will never sing in this church. And if you're hanging around where you can sway for a half an hour and keep saying, we won't worship you, we won't worship you, because it's not Christian. Christian music has doctrine. It has content. It's about the Lord and His finished work. So what are you to do with this? Are you a worshiper of God? I know, and you know, and God knows best of all. When you gather together, are you simply doing what you've been doing all week? From the people, you've been doing it individually and in your family, and you come here, and it's from the people to the Lord, by the book, and it's about the Lord and His finished work. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified on the cross, vindicated that He was the Son of God, seen of either angelic beings, and they saw Him too, and of the human messengers, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received back up the ascension and the glory. Do you not understand? This is gathered Christian worship. I ask one question, I'm done. When you walk out of here today, will God be clapping at your worship? Will God be pleased with your worship? Let's put it in vernacular. Will God get anything out of this service? Our Father, I thank You for Your word. I believe, Lord, that You gave me, through the meditation and all the things that I have done, You certainly gave me something simple to say to people this morning that summarizes and clarifies corporate gathered worship as simply as I've ever heard. May no person leave this place this morning thinking they're well pleased with themselves because they showed up. But may everyone understand, when we come together, this is simply a reflection of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But we're together. And this worship comes from us to You by Your book, by Your word. And it's about what You have done for us, Your finished work. May we never mistake Christian entertainment for worship. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, let's all stand to our feet.